heard that she would frequently go to Thai temples and graveyards to pray.
I feel it's my responsibility to set down this disclaimer that most genuine mental illness can look like supernatural afflictions.
To me, then, it is something else. He touched on to something in that place, and is following him, and it doesn't have a limited agenda.
That means I need to attack your chi level and bring it down.
I called me to meet her at a stone table under my body. She needed someone to speak to. She's feeling lost and confused.
Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
This week, we were supposed to have Datuk Crow, founder of Crow Ghost Adventurers, as guest. But unfortunately, he was in a motorbike accident. A car was taking the middle lane on the highway, suddenly swerved left into his lane at the last minute. No indication whatsoever. The collision was unavoidable at that speed. But fortunately, other than broken bones, broken ribs, broken collarbones, Crow is alive and well, with no critical permanent damage. But that also means he was not able to take the show today. So I dug out my old classified files and shared these confessions with you. These were cases I personally attended to, so I'm able to provide more details, albeit from my own personal perspective. That's why I have my community, you guys, and my co-host Jonathan Lim to help me out with other possible theories that I might have missed out. I also want to thank podcast listener Bok Yang and Patreon Teo Shi Che for giving me the feedback that they would like to hear the Friday Night Live version of the podcast in its entirety without edits from the video version. Now, let's get on with the show. Friday Night Live with us, your very sexy host.
Oh, finally both sexy. Yeah. The last time is always you sexy and I don't know what I am.
Okay. Level you up now. You are also sexy right. John in the house.
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Hey, who are we greeting first? I know I bumped to KK Hing today
at CityLink.
Yes.
See, we know everything about you, Eugene. Okay, we have our spies are out there. We are watching you. Okay, KK Hing said, got people scared of you some more, right? The child.
Yeah.
Okay, who was first today? So it's getting to be a mystery. Sometimes I cannot see who is first.
Yes.
I thought it was L, but apparently it is Jillian. Am I right? Jillian is first. If it was, then congratulations.
Yeah. Because you see what happens, right? Is it when you come too early and then people start filling up the comments and you get bumped up and disappear in
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. But it's nice everyone's coming early to hang out, you know, and that's kind of cool.
I do promise you guys, because previously, back in the old days, what we would do is we would come in very early for sound check, and then we would hang out with those who come in earlier. We would really shoot the breeze, and a lot of the funny discussions are had before the show starts. Yeah. I was just having a little bit of technical issue because I've just, if you guys notice my background studio, I've came back to Tampines, set up my new studio. And with every new studio set up, there's bound to be a little bit of hiccups. But I got my candles, I sage the place. However, John and I, we cannot seem to share the screen. But I think today shouldn't be an issue. But I'll sort that out next week, John.
Yeah, so actually I can see less than you guys can see. Right, I'm just kind of shooting the dark here, but never mind. Okay, never mind. As long as I can see everyone's comments, I think that's important. Okay, because there are so many people today. Okay, let's say hello to some people. Okay, well, who are the early birds? Alsatian was an early bird, of course. KK, L, who might have been first, but maybe not. Donnie Darwin was with us very early. Hello, Donnie. Okay, wow, who else is this? Oh, Frankie. Hello, Frankie. Frankie, that can be arranged. That's right.
Yeah. I like the name Frankie, that can be arranged. Every time I say things like that can be arranged, I think of Frankie.
Maureen is here as well. Hello, Maureen. Jujubee is here. Hello. Mark Shippo, of course.
And I do not want to bump into Miss P. Thank you very much, but no.
Sin is here. This is the shortest name of all. S-Y-N. Hello. Blues Inc. Hello, Blues Inc. And say... recommending a song, Black Magic Woman. Navin Network, hello. Yes. Lots. Wow. Okay.
It's Paul. I saw a Paul. I just scrolled by a Paul.
Paul?
Let's mention my
Saravanan name. Is here. Chris Pilgrim. Wow. Finally getting my weekly dose of SC, says, wow, I cannot pronounce your name. Emmerix V. Wow. Okay. WSA. Why do you sound like a government agency? Okay. Hi, WSA. Work Singapore Authority.
Hey, I'm quite sure, right? The government is actually watching this.
One of you is the government, right? Okay, sure, tell the truth.
To make sure
Sean Chen.
Eugene is not selling the idea that ghosts are real, you know, so that, you know.
That one is, you don't have to be a spy to know that. Everything about you says it. Okay, Tio Shi Jie is here. Sean Chen, Pixel Gun Boy. Oh my God, I like that. Pixel Gun Boy.
Lisa Marie Scudding, finally caught you guys on time. Welcome.
Oh, wait. Okay, someone is pretending to be Carlos Cole. Okay.
Where?
Kang Ji is going raw.
Oh, yeah. That's a Carlos Cole thing right there.
That's cultural appropriation.
Carlos appropriation.
Carlos appropriation, yeah. Okay. Where is Carlos Cole, by the way? I do not see him.
Oh, no, man. This is why we do a part two.
Yeah. Everyone is going raw now. Okay, that's it. That's it. He has lost the trademark, okay, for being late.
Is Mothership here? I'm not sure if Mothership... Oh, Chow Young Lee is new. Hello, Chow Young.
Hello.
And for those of you who are also new and, you know, just tuning in for the first time, let us know. Say hello so that we can say hi, shout out, give you a shout out as well.
Okay, I like L because L has just said the sweetest thing. Aww. John has the youngness... of heart of a 15-year-old.
Oh,
that's because I eat the hearts. That's because I eat the hearts of 15-year-olds like that.
Oh, Carlos Cole says both is me. One on desktop, one on handphone.
Wow, okay, double roar. Okay.
See, Carlos, we're trying to protect your IP, you know. See, okay, now you know. Now you can trust us on that.
Hey, I cannot fact check. Okay.
Wait.
Someone has pointed out. Yes, okay. I said Sin was the shortest name, but of course not, right?
It's
L is the shortest name. Yeah,
fact
that's
check.
Right. Well done, Ivan. Okay. Good. BL. Keep fact checking us, okay? Hello, my ghostly friends. Aww. Who's this? Oh, Bloody Love. Hello, Bloody Love. Yeah.
New one. I think Bloody Love. I've not seen 13 Ludi Love. I've not seen 13 Ludi Love yet before.
13 Ludi Love. Yeah. Okay, I think many
Ellie,
of these
first
names
time here as well.
Oh, okay. Many of these things are not meant to be read, lah. Okay, but
okay. So today was supposed to be our special guest from Crow Ghost Adventurers and Paranormal,
that's
CGA
right.
For short. Dato' Crow as the founder. I'm very thankful that although he is one of the OGs of Singapore paranormal scene, you know how OG? He was selling DVDs of his paranormal investigations. Pasar Malam, okay? That's how OG CGA is, okay? A lot of props and respect to them, and they really invested in a lot of the equipment, and they would go for investigation. And
awesome.
I was watching their investigation before I even got to meet them in person, and I thought, okay, these guys are like so out there, like, very pro, right? 2019, you know, I was still in a basement. So I dropped them an email and I said, hey, I love what you do. Can we have a chat? Dato' Crow invited me to his house.
For lunch.
Okay, so I have a lot of respect for that man and the team.
Nice.
It's like a family gathering. His daughter's involved, his wife is involved, everyone's involved, like the whole family for their. And they just celebrated their anniversary. They went to Kuala Lumpur for expedition.
Investigation.
Right?
Okay.
So I said, hey, Crew, why don't you just come on our show and have an entire episode on expedition? Mm. And they say, okay, bro, no problem. Unfortunately, this week, right, just a few
days
ago,
what happened?
He met with a motor accident. And why I said I respect this guy a lot is, you know, usually you would think, someone just trying to blow you off with, I'm in hospital, I can't do it, right, you know? No, he actually sent me a video of him in the stretcher.
Okay.
That is too high level to try to blow me off. And so I just want to give him a shout out here as well. CGA Crew, get well soon. A lot of Supernatural Confessions fans have actually left notes and messages for you to get well. Don't let the hunter get you and come back on the show.
Yes, we are waiting for you. Okay, we will be here. We are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So instead of Dato' Crow and instead of expeditions, what are we going to do today?
So this is something I actually wanted to keep for a while. Okay. I was thinking, you know, John and I, we will always be bringing guests in. And I say, okay, that's if one day we have no guests, right? I would love to talk about black magic. And then okay. this week, no, because you know, of the unfortunate incident, and also timely enough, today's featured confession at 11:30 p.m. on Supernatural Confessions to YouTube is a man. His name is Gerard. He's from Trinidad and Tobago.
Nice.
Came to Singapore for a cleansing ritual, and then I managed to catch up with him and shared. He shared his experience in Trinidad, the culture in Trinidad, the kind of. Nice. You know, we talk about supernatural Asia being quite dirty, right? Trinidad has its own level.
I'm sure much more intense. Yeah.
And wow. Human sacrifice and black magic, commonplace. Commonplace. Wow. Down from policemen to politicians, and he almost lost his life. So, and not just giving me the confession, actually was in the ashram with Guru Murali. If you see the poster, he was there as well. Confessing in front of deities and in front of his guru.
Wow.
it's going to be a very good confession tonight. So that's black magic. Turns out Thomas Cheng, one of our confessors as well, sent me a Facebook message. We're going to share this confession with you guys as well. John, you're going to do the honors and read it for us.
Yes, later.
Something to do with black magic.
Wow, so it all aligned, right? And it's all meant to be. Okay.
Yeah.
that's quite good. That's quite good. I don't have a lot of experience in black magic apart from the hearts of 15-year-olds. But I think I'm dying to hear the things, okay? And I get the sense that they're very mysterious today. Right. So we're going to try something new today as well, right? Because they're not the standard confessions. So we have a special approach, but we will tell you about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
Okay. Why is someone shouting free tops, free tops, free tops? Or free top G, sorry, free top
what's
G.
Free top G.
That's very mysterious.
What's this? Don is asking, will we be interviewing and sharing with a black magic master in future? As it turns out, interviewing spiritual practitioners. Interviewing spiritual practitioners is very tough because most of them do not want to appear on our confessions. Second, most of them are not very proficient in English. So these two really makes it very difficult for them to confess or appear. The thing is, who would want to go around and say, look, I'm criminal, I'm doing black magic on people. You put a mark on yourself, right? So to answer Donnie Darwin, it's not likely we're going to get anyone to appear, but we'll probably get stories that I can share with you after they tell me, then I relate to you all.
Can we do them like, you know, with the voice changer and then we can pixelate the face?
you know
Asia, true crime style.
Yeah, but Asia, at the end of the day, the minute you start whipping out your handphone, right, they clam up.
That's true. That's true. Okay, nah, but our confessions are as close as you can get to the real thing, right? Eugene getting to the real thing.
Maybe next time I should have a wiretap. Like, yeah, tell me what you just said again.
Speak closer to my nipple, please. Okay. That's what Eugene will be saying. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay, more and more people are coming in. That's very exciting.
It was this
okay,
Balestier Road Red House. Like, have you heard anything about that, John?
Balestier. I live near Balestier Road, but no, I don't remember a red house. Oh, tell us more about it, Chow Yong Lee. All right, I'll go check it out tonight.
Yeah, no, I've not heard of Balestier Road Red House.
Red House, don't have Lee. I only know the Red House Bakery, like in Katong.
I know the Red House in Loyang Pasir Ris. That one now become shelter center.
Yes. Yeah. So tell us if you have another red house. Okay, this is not Red HDB. Yeah? This is Red House. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Shall we get to our very first confession?
Yes. Okay. So I'm opening my phone. Okay. Let me get there. Right. So our first confession. Very exciting.
Hold on. Let me just see you a bit. This one you truncated. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Ready, yeah?
Again? All right.
And John, over to you for this confession, an exchange of life force submitted by Thomas Cheng.
My ex-army buddy messaged me last month, telling me that his entire team at work had become quite sickly. I brushed him off, saying it's probably COVID. But he got annoyed with me and said it isn't. He suspected it was black magic at work. And he had reached out to me because of the job I do. And of all his friends, I'm most likely the one to know a thing or two about magic. So he said there was a female colleague in his team that used to be quite sickly. He had heard that she would frequently go to Thai temples and graveyards to pray. Recently, she got more and more radiant, while the rest of the team got more and more sickly. My friend suspected that she might be using magic on them to drain their life force. He then asked me if there's any way to break such a spell. I advised him that they can go to the religion or faith of their choice. If possible, get amulets or blessed items for protection. For free thinkers, they can get the black obsidian crystals as protection. 3 weeks later, I followed up with him on that case, and he told me my advice worked. The miraculous bit was that a guy who had gotten gangrene and the doctor had recommended amputation actually started getting better. The girl, on the other hand, started getting sickly again. Jang, jang, jang.
Yeah.
Wow. It's cinematically very exciting, you know, when you turn the curse back on people, you know, it's very fulfilling, you know. But yeah, I mean, at the same time, I feel bad for the girl, you know, because I think living a life of frequent illness is no fun. So I'm not surprised that she would do what she can to get out of it, but then the price is a bit high, you know. Some of them are your colleagues, right? I think she's in a pretty obvious position.
I see. The one thing that you pointed out very, aptly is when it comes to black magic, there's always a chance for it to go back to you 3-4. Always that chance.
For sure. Right? You know? And I mean, okay. So, this account reminds me of two things, right? The most obvious thing, of course, is because of the title you gave it, partly, right? It reminds me of this film that I used to love, right? 1985 film called Life Force. I don't know if you remember it. It wasn't very popular. Not everyone watched it. It's kind of a half science fiction, half horror film. If anyone has ever seen it, shout out, okay? It's called Life Force, and it's directed by Tobe Hooper, who had just directed a few years ago Poltergeist, and before that, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay,
it's a big thing, right? By a huge horror director. It's called Life Force, and it's actually about energy vampires.
That
suck and drain the energy. Kind of like, you know, sometimes the jiangshi will go and suck, the person will shrivel, right? It's literally that, but it's the science fiction version. It is energy vampires from space.
Why? It's just like a straight to B-grade, straight to video kind of show.
But it ticks all the boxes, man, okay? So, yeah, I don't know, man. Find it if you can, right? If any of you have seen it, Donnie Darwin says, life force is alien. That's right. It's very... Yeah, I know you're not born yet. Okay, no need to rub it in. What do you mean by I have not watched it because I was not born yet? That's not the only way you can watch things.
Okay. You all go. So, you know what to play for the...
yeah. Hunt it out, okay? Life Force. It has amazing special effects. So that's one thing, right? But the other thing that reminded me of, as you mentioned, the whole idea that black magic can... turn back on you, right? You know, and when I said the thing about how obvious it was that she was draining the energy from the people around her, right, was a very famous Ray Bradbury story, I believe it's Ray Bradbury, right? Where this guy will turn up at the couple's home with a red button in a box, and you can press the red button in the box and you can get whatever you want in this world, but someone you don't know will die. Yeah.
Killer.
Right? And so the family like, sure, let's do it, man. Right? Yeah, no cost, right? And then at the end of the story, they got what they wanted. And then the guy took the box away. And as he left the house, they said, what are you going to do with the box? And he said, I'm going to give it to someone you don't know. Jang, jang, jang. Wonderful story. Wonderful story. And that's black magic in a nutshell. Okay.
All right. And you guys are watching us on Ghost Mortem. Ghost Mortem. It sounds like Ghost Mortem.
Sorry, that's my passion coming
through.
I know.
So those of you who just joined us again, why I made that joke about Ghost Mortem, I just like to explain, because I don't want anyone to feel left out, is John is new to Friday Night Live only this year, because prior to joining us on Friday Night Live, you have seen him for years on Tuesday night with me as well, just like this, like what you're seeing on screen now, on another show called Ghost Mortem, where we would talk about horror shows, we would dissect it, and we had such a great time, except that after 5 seasons later, John says, okay, we're out of good shows.
Ran out of film. So sad, so sad. Yeah, and many of you came to us from Ghost Mortem as well, right? So, you know, many of you will remember. So that's kind of sweet, right? I love it when they overlap, you know?
Yeah,
but okay, so what's your take on this confession or on the whole idea, right? Of draining energy.
Okay, so one thing that Thomas pointed out, and I agree with him. So Thomas Cheng, if you don't know, he said that it's part of his job and that's why his friends call him. I myself do text Thomas from time to time, especially when it's got to do with Thai amulets. Thomas Cheng is he's a Thai amulet rapper. So for those of you who are Thai amulet specialists and experts, don't get your knickers in a bunch. We're not saying Thomas Cheng is the expert in that. He's just the guy who raps the amulets. Okay, there are amulet experts. Thomas is the zeng, the cover. So your car, you want to zeng, right? He will zeng the spoiler, zeng the wheel. But he's not the guy who's going to deal your engine and repair your car for you. Okay, so different.
Okay.
But because we don't, most of us normal people don't have people friends who are in the supernatural line. So when your friend is as close to the supernatural as possible, you will go and pick up the phone and call him. But what Thomas is right is black magic is a sniping spell, not a group spell. If I want to affect people around my surrounding, it is not, it can be a dark magic, but not the black magic that we know and we'll be talking about tonight, where it's a targeted spell. I want to fuck your life up. I cast a spell on you. Not that.
Correct.
So for this lady, she's very sickly and I can already hear the voices of the super rational camp going, but no proof. No, it's just a coincidence that she gets sick and she's well again. Yes, I acknowledge. But what was interesting is the colleague knows that she has been going sick for spiritual help. So even if there's no basis and it's just that people are falling sick coincidentally, knowing that your colleague is dabbling in things in the cemetery and all that, if I start to sneeze today because this afternoon I have scolded her, I'm going to feel guilty about that. I'm going to start thinking that there's magic at work.
That's true. Is it possible that she wasn't using any black magic at all, that she didn't know what was happening? Because on one level, right, on the most basic level, right, this also feels to me like they're being drained by something dirty, right? There are entities that have come back with her from her travels and they have started draining, right? You know, the way all the little, you know, kuikia under the table at the casino, you know, will drain your luck and drain your, you know, and the way your succubus in your life will drain your life force, you know? So there are many entities who want to drain your various things, right? So you know, I mean, I said succubus. So is it possible, right, that it's not her deliberately doing it? You know, but maybe some sort of cheeky monk or something, or you know, cheeky practitioner put something to follow her back and she doesn't know.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
She's still benefiting. She's still benefiting. She's getting more radiant and it's not Maybelline, right? So it must be magic, right? Maybe it's Hantu or maybe it's magic. Maybelline. You know, I think that's quite a fun ad.
Yeah.
Maybe it's So-So. Or maybe it's Maybelline. You know,
you should give Maybelline a call. You should do an ad for them.
So maybe she doesn't know the details of what's going on. She's just enjoying the change.
Very true, John. When I myself go to spiritual practitioners back in days when I was desperate and just looking for help in all sorts of ways, and understand that majority of the people going to spiritual practitioners, they have no clue. This whole spirit world is not as if there's a guidebook or a manual to read up or a Wikipedia site that gives you any instruction. I think your best bet if you want to know about supernatural is to tune in to Supernatural Confessions and listen to all the number of years of episode. Maybe then you might get some inclination. Most people would go to spiritual practitioners for help. Who stop? How the help is given, you won't know. You something you won't bother asking.
In fact, if you are feeling a little bit, shall we say, guilty about asking for this type of help, you would want not to know, right? You could easily tell the guy, don't tell me what's going to happen. I just want to know it works.
And you brought up the topic about the red button just now, right?
Mm.
So if I am sickly and it's affecting my quality of life, maybe terminal even, and someone's offering me, don't ask me how, I have a solution. You will get better, but don't ask me how.
Correct.
And if I start seeing that my colleagues are getting sick, you know, John is coughing and, you know, Elvin is losing even more weight, you know, what's my level of guilt here? I mean, now we sit here, we're healthy, we say, oh, I feel guilty, I'll stop it. But when you are terminal, it's your life versus, I mean, don't say about someone you don't know. Someone you don't know, you don't even care. If I live and someone else in another part of the world die, shock, right? But this is her colleague.
Mm.
And how far can you get away when people around you start to perish?
How long can you deny it to yourself, right? And keep saying, oh, it's a coincidence. It's a coincidence, and
what,
right?
What if this, because magic doesn't have boundaries. Like, okay, affect my male colleagues who piss me off, but don't affect my family. No. Every AOE, right? Aerial effect, boom. Everyone, you're just going to drain everyone around you. So I think,
correct,
for her sake, I like to believe she is not doing this intention.
Yeah.
And whatever that was promised to her, I have some more stories, maybe later I'll share it with you guys, is the byproduct, the cost of that spell.
You know, it's almost like the practitioner stuck a space vampire onto her and said, you know, go, okay, I've done something to you, you will feel better. And she has no idea, right, where all the health is coming from, right? You know, and even if she can see the symptoms, I think it's so much easier to go through life denying it, you know, when you have such a guilty secret to face, right? I think, you know, human psychology. Yeah.
I might be wrong because Dijon says that magic is targetable. I agree, we have black magic that is targetable. But I think what I mentioned about is this AOE spell that she walks around with, this bubble of energy suck, doesn't differentiate who's who. It's just, it's like a fireball, right? In Dungeons and Dragons, when you cast fireball on yourself, ally and enemy still take the same 66 damage.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I always see traditional black magic as the flying egg, lah. You know, to me, it's always that, right? You have to know your target and the egg fly there. There's no egg salad flying over everywhere, or, you know, the eggs are not hand grenades or landmines. You know, it's one egg for one person for one time.
Correct. Yeah. What's that called? Tuju Tuju, right?
Is it called Tuju Tuju? I can't remember.
Tuju Tuju. T-E-J-U-R,
Not Tolo Tolo. Okay. Yeah. You know the real name of the Tolo Tuju, please say so. Alright.
Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you are enjoying the show and would like to support our efforts, you can help by giving us a 5-star review or by becoming a patron by signing up for a monthly membership fee that starts from as low as $5. Check out the perks at patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. That's patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. Or if you feel like showing a simple gesture of appreciation, you can buy us a cup of coffee or two at buymeacoffee.com/superconfess. And now, let's get back to the show.
How about voodoo doll? Navin is asking, are those a form of black magic?
Yeah, voodoo is the Haitian black magic version of black magic. There's also the Chinese version of the Da Xiao Ren, right? You have effigy.
Sympathetic magic, lah, right? You know, because effigy to stand in for the person.
Correct. Yeah. The Da Xiao Ren or the voodoo is a targeted spell. I want to target that person. I have his hair. I put in some scriptures targeting his name, and I will pop. I will suffer.
The first time I went to Hong Kong, I was so fascinated because we walked past the junction in Causeway Bay where the Da Xiao Ren industry is focused. You know, there's a little spot underneath the expressway where many, many ladies, old ladies on stools, each one with a box, and they're all down there doing, you know, you just queue up, pick which one, you know, maybe there's an app that tells you who's best, you know? And I'm like, this is amazing. Right in the Causeway Bay near Sogo. I'm like, yeah, so handy.
Okay, so Singapore, right? If you guys are looking for the task here in Singapore, there was this lady I interviewed last year during the 7 months. She's one of the tanki, the only youngest female tanki in Singapore that I know of. And she sells a box set. Okay, I kid you not, okay? She takes over her father's business and right. she says she has created a nice box set for people to ta xiao ren. So you open up, it has the xiao ren, it has the clothes, it has everything.
Oh,
a slipper you provide yourself, lah. Slipper not included. So you have to chakya yourself, okay? But it's still practice, it's still for sale. That's why we talk about all this voodoo magic, black magic. I mean, today is all gonna be about black magic and voodoo stuff, right? So it is not uncommon. We just don't talk about it as often as we used to before, because last time was in movies, you see people in public area. Now it still exists, it's just not in public.
Okay, someone out there really says, I want the box set. Okay, somewhere out there. So maybe that's merch that Supernatural Confessions can sell. Huh? Oh, it's the Beat Small People box set. Yeah, I think that's quite cool. I would totally buy it just for fun. You know, and then just keep it at home in case, you know, one day, you know, it hands itchy.
I got merchandise idea, John. You got the Beat Small People set. $89. Then we got the Protect Yourself from Kena Wet for $150. Okay. Go. Your shop.
All right, man. That's so. Come. Navin says, come with tea slipper. All right, that's it.
Okay, merchandise.
SC got slipper included.
Okay.
I love it.
So today we're going to have a lot more stories because it's John and I, and I think we got some time. We think we can squeeze in three, maybe four stories. The first one has already been done. So we got potentially three, four more stories to go through. The second story, I'm going to be reading it.
This is where it becomes special, for today.
Okay, so I don't know if it's going to work, but when I spoke to John about the creative direction of the show today, again, John has all these great ideas. Thank you so much, John. I think it should work. I'm quite excited about it. Let's see how, okay?
Okay, so Eugene will read the story. All right, but it ends on a cliffhanger, okay? And then we're just going to open it up to everyone out there to solve the mystery for us, okay? See if you can guess what's going on, what's happening, what magic is going on. And then, of course, Eugene, the Game Master, actually knows some more details. He will reveal, like Hercule Poirot, okay? He will reveal how it works, okay? So that's fun, right? Yeah. This is the interactive murder mystery night.
You might even do this on a live show, it works out, okay? So let us know, guys.
Okay, so listen to the story, look out for clues, okay? Make notes, whatever, okay? And list your suspects, everything, okay? Are we ready?
Yes, we are. Okay, so I'm now swapping to the other screen, John. Okay. So the reason why I can create this confession this way, because these stories are stories that I am personally involved in and I have the details. So John, feel free to ask me the details later on. Okay. All right. So the rest of you listening in, I want you to put on your Supernatural Confessions hat and join us on this adventure. I want to hear what you have to say if you were in my shoes dissecting this story and you're investigating it. Okay. Empty Heart. This story was shared to me by a very close friend. Due to the nature of his job, I will deliberately omit or tweak some details about him to protect his identity. I met up with this friend A over lunch, and as usual we would ask each other questions like, how's life? Most times you would expect the casual remarks like, oh, life's okay, or the cursory complaints about the cost of living. This time he remarked, father just got admitted. I'm here. Shit. Where does the conversation go from here? So from the look he's giving me, I know that there's more to what he's letting on. So we let the pregnant pause linger between. I'm terrible at small talk and constellations, but I'm even more terrible at dealing with long silences. What's wrong with him? He thinks someone has cast a black magic curse on him. Okay, I can see where this is going already. What makes you say that? I feel it's my responsibility to set down this disclaimer that most genuine mental illness can look like supernatural afflictions. We should really allow medical science to take care of him first before sorting out alternative healing, if at all. Then my friend looked at me and go, do you really believe in that? I pursed my lips and I wrinkled my nose. I can't possibly contradict my own disclaimer now, can I? I'm a responsible man, so I persevere. I'm sure many things may look like it can be pegged to the supernatural, but rational people will tell you otherwise. Then A interrupted. My dad can see things. He said at night, he can see paper effigy dolls standing by his bed, one pink and one blue. They follow him and appear in front of him everywhere he goes. Initially, we also thought that maybe it's just the boredom of retirement that's causing his mind to run wild. But then we started finding giant centipedes in the toilet bowl. Giant toads under his bed. Where do they come from? Though he can see them at all times of the day, it's only during the nighttime. Worse. It's just been getting worse and worse. He blames my mom. He blames everyone. When did this happen? I asked. About 9 months ago. Around July, August. Right before Hungry Ghost Festival. So what happened during that time? Nothing out of the ordinary. Dad retired and started staying home a lot more. Okay. Does your dad have any enemies? Doesn't strike me as a superstitious type. And I've spoken with your dad on numerous occasions over the years. Why the sudden claim that it's black magic? His dad was currently under observation and the social workers have said to give them more time to study his behavior before making any recommendations. This means that visitors are not encouraged to visit as well, which I found to be a small blessing. It would be hard to reject a close friend's invitation to see his father, and at the same time, I really didn't want to get too deeply involved in a black magic situation. But I can point my friend to a good starting point. Okay, I'm just pulling this out from air, yeah? I said, but you might want to just poke around your father's old business. I'm guessing you might find a thread there that you could tug at. A week later, A came back with some news. Dad didn't retire. He left. He left the entire company to his partner. He just left.
Jang, jang, jang. So what do you guys think? His dad left. He didn't retire, right? So he kept that a secret. So what's happening? Was he forced to leave? Did someone sort of use magic to oust him out of the company? Is something happening there? You know, we have so many little clues. Huh? We have centipedes and centipedes and toads are quite outstanding. All right. You know, I think if I were to see a centipede, it's confirmed black magic. I've literally never seen one in my life. All right. Like a live one. No, I did not go to the kind of army where you see centipedes.
Oh.
All right. Yeah. You know, but yeah, so that's that. It seems quite intense. It seems quite spooky. I think the spookiest thing to me are the two paper effigies. The one pink, one blue that follow you everywhere. I think that's freaky. What's the clue about 7 months? You know, I'm thinking it's a red herring. Okay, it sounds a little because I hear paper effigy and then 7 months. I'm like, okay, you know, I see a connection there, right? You know, a snap, right? But then at the same time, I'm like, that's got nothing to do with toads and centipedes. So I'm not sure, man. What do you guys think? Okay, KK Heng says dad is burnt out. Okay, that's very rational. But burnt out doesn't imply got insects and toads coming. Okay. So, what's going on?
People have said my volume is low. I'm just bumping my volume up. Guys, can you hear me better now? Okay. I'm going to read out some of the comments so far that came in. It says, okay, centipedes, toads. Oh, no, that's Jonathan Lim.
That was me. Okay, Saravanan says, sounds like he was targeted. Okay.
KK Heng says, dad burnt out.
Sin asks, what level is their house on? Good point. Good point. Because if you are a HDB flat upstairs and then suddenly got toads and that's even...
I think about maybe 8th floor, 9th floor.
Okay. So floor, HDB flat. Yeah, too high for a toad to be jumping. Okay. Team rational explanation from Matt. Dad knew something about his health. Kept it to himself, didn't want to worry the family.
Ooh.
But was there anything about his health?
His mental health in this case.
But as in his health was fine, right? So it seemed fine. He was only behaving funny, right? League of Angels Singapore says, that delusional.
Delusional.
Delusional. Okay, Saravanan says the toad took a leaf. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Mark Shippo says, sounds like Hong Kong black magic movies. Matt Verkek, insects got centipede equals got toad with each centipede. Do toads eat centipede, man?
Yes, they do.
Alicia says black magic is at play.
Someone else said that it sounds like the movie Art of the Devil earlier on, right? Which is, yes, you are so right. It sounds like that, right? But Zainuddin Ibrahim reminds us, so it's not always about black magic, yeah? Okay? Could be anything. Somebody's pet centipede ran away. Okay.
Hey, you're terrible, lah. You're been terrible supernatural sleuths, lah.
Yeah, lah. Okay, team hentai explanation from the clerk says, that was asked to resign because of sexual misconduct allegation. That one is guessing very far.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's not Hercule Poirot already. That's Hercule Toilet. Okay. Let's see. Toad is very common black magic too from some parts of China.
Navinet say, I'm on team rational for this story. It's Zainuddin, yeah. It's not all about black magic. Fair enough, fair enough. Okay, so
it's interesting. It's interesting that dad seems to have very little to say about it, right? You know, he's not giving any clues.
He's not.
You know?
He's not.
Yeah, so he's wanting to keep it to himself, right? Which I think suggested to some of them, like, that he knows something and he doesn't want to worry his family. I think that part is very true and very obvious. But what does he know? That one is hard to guess.
Okay.
So
based on what we are reading out now, I think maybe should we give them a little bit more to work with?
Okay. Clue? Yeah. Any come game master, are there any clues we can use?
Okay. So some of the things that A has found out was that yes, father did leave just like that. And it was a business deal that went south.
Okay.
Right? They have expanded into some territories that they were advised not to. Okay, being Singaporeans, they play by the rules. They got all their work permit signed, land deed signed, everything signed. But the locals were not so kind. Just because you are playing by the rules does not mean that I, you know, in this local part of that neighboring country, cannot do things that is outside of our mortal law. Okay, it's about land, okay, in the neighboring country. He had earlier suspected black magic, not 9 months later. He had talked about that. A recalled hearing from his mom saying that your father is this, lah, he's worried, he's talking about all these things in that place. But most people who are rational, who are not constantly listening to Supernatural Confession on Friday Night Live, is not going to think magic or not going to take this black magic declaration too seriously. Right? It's just, I think maybe they're just worried about something. What are some of the signs that we find clues to allude to potential sabotage? Whether it's actually magic or not, we can't tell. Okay? I'll be fair to you guys. I'll be fair to the rational team. Just because your crops don't grow and your water is poison, I cannot immediately declare it's black magic. Right? But obviously, someone don't want them there. Or someone is trying to screw up their business. So bad that the workers, who are mostly illegal that they hire, on the site, don't even want to come to work out of fear.
Okay.
The father had seen things then, mentioned it briefly to the mother, but no one thought much about it. So now when he started blaming people, it's your fault, mom's fault, everything, could he be tried to reach out for help back then? But don't know how to share that information because people are just going to think he's crazy, or he probably shared with his wife and was not taken seriously. Then he shut off.
Right.
Okay, so he came back to Singapore hoping to cut off ties with the company or with whatever that they were dealing with to reset his life. But whatever that he has been cursed with had followed him back. That was the belief. Right? That was what was shared. That was what this is sharing with you what I know. So obviously I don't have all the details. I've not spoken to the father, interviewed him to get all the other details, but from just this standpoint, and I talk about signs, right? Not signs, but the signs of black magic. And I'll share this with you guys later on about this, how to spot signs of black magic. But for now, I want to hear what you guys have to say. What you have to say, John.
I mean, okay, there are two possibilities, right? You know, so okay, the things that are happening to him seem to be linked to that overseas project, right? You know, and a lot of people were asking, where is it, right? They're guessing, is it China? Is it Indonesia, right? And so, of course, you know, the natives are not happy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so it could be A, the natives who want them out, right, have done something to make sure the project fails, or B, the place itself, nothing to do with the natives, wants them out, right? And the natives maybe know about it and keep quiet, right? So was he cursed by, you know, it's the ancient Indian graveyard kind of story, right? Poltergeist style.
So not black or magic, just cursed land.
Not black magic, okay. Just black land. Okay. Black land, okay. Cursed land, right? Or was it something more business, right? You know, and sort of land snatching, right? You know, territorial kind of thing, right? It could be both, right? Could be both different genres, okay. The fact that it's centipedes and all that, I think, you know, draws me a little bit closer to, I think, the land idea, right? That the place itself is cursed, you know. I'm curious to know, we don't know at the moment, but was anyone else in the company affected? You know, the partner who took over the company, was he all right? And did the company flourish after that? In the end, what happened to this project? Did it happen?
No, the project died.
The project died.
Yeah,
okay.
The partner has also came back, but we do not know, and my friend do not know as well, whether the partner is fine or he's also going through some form of medical crisis. But I suppose if the partner is going through some form of medical crisis, he's not about to go and start declaring to his ex-partner's son, you know, I'm also facing this. Most of it, he'll just be, he's just keeping it to himself.
So this is interesting. So the project didn't happen, right? And I'm thinking maybe the father leaving the company and causing a lot of upheaval may be part of the whole project falling apart, right? Then in that case, that tells me that it wasn't directed at them business-wise, because having achieved your goal, why is he still cursed? Right? The curse is over. They've left, right? Project cancelled. Okay, to me, then it is something else. He touched on to something in that place, and it's following him, and it doesn't have a limited agenda. You're just cursed because, you know, forbidden, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Even though you're not developing my land anymore, too late.
Few things I would that come to mind that I think might counter that argument.
Okay.
The people who cast the curse on them may not have terminated, for lack of a better word, the contract. I've cast a curse, I have released it, and this djinn, because it's business,
possible?
Right? I may have a vendetta against you. You have done something to me, I put such a powerful magic upon you, and there is no expiry date. It's until it has served its purpose, and then the spirit will leave. So, that's one. Two, why I don't think it's the land, John, is if it's a cursed land, Indian burial grounds type of situation, when you leave the land, it has no longer any effect on you.
You see, but that's my point, right? Because the curse is on anyone. I'm thinking Pharaoh's curse, right? Whoever disturbs these remains. So just because you undisturb them and go home, too late. You are doomed from the start. The moment I see your face digging here, that's it. You die.
Okay. Possibly.
There's no
then.
Sorry. There's no cancel. Yeah, nothing.
Is that the Pharaoh's curse type of thing?
Yeah. Whereas, you know, on contrary, a human curse, right? A human originated curse would have the agenda. I want to get you off my land. I want you to cancel this project. Once you cancel the project, do I have to be so mean as to still kill you? No need lah. I warned you off already, man. No, I don't have to hunt you down.
But you see, the thing about spell is, I pay the price. I send out the spell. You know, I don't have let's terminate the contract on you now. Call a hitman, okay? Call off, you know, John Wick. Let's not kill him anymore.
True. Yeah. But you are thinking of a shorter term, more intense curse, lah. Right? This one sounds like something that is going to bug him and bug him and bug him for a very long time. So I don't think you hired a spiritual hitman, that kind of thing. You know? Because if not, then it would have been faster and more intense.
The other thing as well is the paper doll. Like, if it was a cursed land thing, a pharaoh curse type of thing, I think a cursed land thing, the paper doll may not be the object of choice that he visualized. However,
so this, know where I'm going to go. You know where I'm going to go.
Not quite sure, but I can also give you that 50% of the land curse, because toad, centipede, all very natural thing. So a bit like, again, the Pharaoh's curse, the guy was bitten by a mosquito and he died. Like he didn't, but he didn't see like mummy floating around or the Anubis character coming in, you know. So the paper effigy thing really throws me off. To me, that sounds like a targeted curse.
So it could be entirely okay. The reason why he's seeing these effigies, which is something very specific and very niche, right? You have to be a particular type of Chinese to sort of experience this, right? It's simply because that is what his mind and his subconscious chose to encounter. Right? It is just phantasms. Again, I just curse you with phantasm. What phantasm? You own self fill in the blank. Okay? Because I don't know you. I cannot design the hantu for you. All right? You see what you need to see. You know, you're having visions. Because I really don't think that is actually the effigy coming after him. It's part of that whole hallucinations, things that are driving you crazy, right? Causing you to slip.
Rich Spiker 84 says, the father had an affair and jilted lover. Actually, that reminds me of an Indonesian story. A Singaporean went to Indonesia. The guy, the person I can tell you, because he already passed away already, so I can tell you who his full story in detail. Indonesia, he worked in Indonesia. He had a jilted lover there. He got a woman pregnant. He came back to Singapore with his family. He got cursed all the way until he died. That one, death curse. He withered away. Bed sores and everything. Hallucination, hearing voices. People come to him. That one I know. The person stay in Marine Parade.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's another level of Indonesia black magic curse. He came to Singapore. He came back to Singapore, went to all the different religious, seek for religious help. Cannot even down to the underworld one, right? The apes, right? Yeah. They say, no, this is your karma. Also you pay the price. You can try to negotiate for you. That's about it. But no, you don't accept you. You go and sort it out yourself. Like, so what we think hypothesis, right?
Yeah,
the woman used the child was born already,
yeah,
because she tried to get him back to Indonesia. Say, oh, this is your child. He says, right. No, don't call me, right? And it was disciplined her. She killed the child, used the child's life force to trace it back all the way to him, and death wish. So there was no coming back from that sort of target.
Well, that's a whole other kind of ball game, you know. Okay. I'm looking at what some of them are saying, right? Alsatian was saying he thinks it's more supernatural than black magic after hearing this.
So okay.
You have unlocked something, right? It's the mummy's curse version, right? Maybe he did land, Mr. David says, maybe he did land clearing and chopped down an old tree that was inhabited. Yeah, so exactly, right? It's the kind, right?
There was chopping down of trees and land clearing. Yes, you're right.
So you've offended something more than human, something great, something older and something much more powerful.
That one I can
believe.
Can.
You know?
Yeah, I kind of like it because I obviously already fixated on an angle, right, John? Bringing this story out to you guys, hearing John dissecting it, hearing everyone on the comment section giving me your thoughts, it's a bit like Ghostbottom again. It broadens the potentials, the possibilities.
Yeah, you know, it's possible. But of course, you have some friends here. Okay? Some people say not. Jujube says, they sent a jinn that followed him. The jinn is always Eugene's first go-to. You accidentally said jinn just now.
Yeah,
you know. So it's possible. It's possible.
Oh, no. Why I say jinn was because I'm trying not to give away too much, right? The native of the land... It will not be too far a stretch to think that they might be dabbling in jinns. Put it that way.
Right. Okay. Wow. So what do you guys think? Is it a purposefully executed black magic? Right? Whether in the form of a jinn or sending something else, right? Or was it something that was disturbed by him, not coming from humans, but perhaps something older and more powerful? Okay.
Someone asked, was the father a good person? Honestly, I can't tell because I only go during Chinese New Year. And of course, everyone's going to look very good once a year, but behind the scene at work, you really can't tell. So I don't know. And I think obviously my friend doesn't know his father in the workplace either. He would come home and he'll be a dutiful father. So the assumption is that we do not know enough whether the father is a good person or not. But business is business lah. Okay, you go to someone's land, someone else's land. But the friend did say his father is very law-abiding one, very black and white one. So he could be doing things by the book, but the locals may not have appreciated that.
Maybe. Yeah, correct. Right. I think it's unfortunate more than anything else. You know, I don't think there was a sort of malevolence there, you know. But I guess unless there were warnings and he didn't heed the warnings, then that then may be tricky. You know, so we don't know how much the father knew that he was trespassing. Maybe the moment he turned up, it was too late already, you know. People are guessing Indonesia, Brunei, or you see. You might as well say lah.
Quite close. Very close. Very warm, ah, warm. Your guesses are
warm. You know the region. Okay, Arthur Keith is saying, what is gin? Is it the same that you rub the kettle on the lamp?
Yes.
Interesting. Yes, Arthur Keith. Is. Come, tell us, Eugene.
Okay.
Tell Arthur Keith about it.
Good question. So, the genie in the lamp that you see in the cartoon, the you never ever had friend like me, dum-dum-dum-dum, right? That's the Disney version of the gin. But the lore behind that is, jinns are created through smokeless fire and they are created by God. They are in their own realm, right? They have the good jinns, the bad jinns, and they're like humans, right?
The blue jeans and the denim jeans.
The Billy jeans.
Billy jeans.
Jinns are men, by the book, men, mortal men and jinns should not interact.
Correct.
But jinns can come to our world and sometimes offer us things that would be to our benefit. At what cost? That's always the message at what cost. The cartoon version, the never ever had a friend like me, you rub the jinn comes out, he grants you 3 wishes, right? Wishes 3. Yes. So what they don't tell you is the price to pay. And are they really your friend? But yes, you're right. That genie is the same jinn that we are talking about. Except that in the books, not the Disney version, they're not exactly your friend.
It's very interesting. If you are interested in a modern non-Disney portrayal of jinn, there's a wonderful movie starring Tilda Swinton and Idris Elba called A Thousand Years of Longing, where Idris Elba plays a jinn in the lamp kind. Tilda Swinton rubs the lamp, Idris Elba comes out. Wow, pretty good. So please go watch that if you can. You know,
the other jinn appearance also from American Gods. The cab driver, the Efrit. He's a jinn. Hey, can't hear you, John. Your mic. Oh, you're gone. Your mic is gone. See, I talk about jinn only, at a time, Okay. Not sure. Check your connection, John, or not. You have to reset your browser. Try. Cannot hear you. Zero voice coming from your side. And this is not the first time that we talk about jinn and then bad things happen. Okay, while we wait for John to come back,
Supernatural Confessions was created as a safe space for people to share their paranormal encounters. If you or someone you know has a strange encounter to share, we want to hear about it. You can type it to us, send us a voice memo, or even meet me for a face-to-face interview. Visit supernaturalconfessions.com for more info. But every time I hear you,
trouble. Testing. Can everyone hear me? Testing. Can anyone hear me?
Hey.
I can hear me.
Okay, can. Now can hear you.
Can, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Yay. Okay. Thank you, Clark says. All right. I was here earlier, actually, but you couldn't see me. I think something was
blocking Bunyan my eyes.
Blocking. I heard you talking about all this, the different signs.
Yeah.
Black magic, okay. All right. Here we are. Okay. Please carry on. You were talking about time magic.
Talking about the signs of black magic. What are the signs? So, most times, I feel black magic is very subtle. So, it always falls into that spectrum where it can be explained away. You know, if I put on my rational thinking hat and someone loses his job, well, maybe he's sucky at your job. And because he loses his job, his relationship with his loved one is strained. Possible, right? Because he's stressed over work, he loses his relationship, he gets sick. Why not? It all stands to reason. But when I interview people and you see some of the confessions I have, those who really suffer toro from black magic, like this guy lost his teeth, health all deteriorated, go to medical, go to doctor, so doctor don't know what's wrong with him, why his tooth is falling out, why his body parts are giving way. To these people, the idea of them being a victim of black magic is extremely real. So no amount of other people who are in a healthy state on the outside telling them, no lah, there's probably some other possible explanation, is going to work for them. And a friend of mine who is working at IMH says, in Singapore, the stats are 53% would believe it's supernatural and not science.
Well, I mean,
53%.
To be very frank, growing up in Singapore, in Asia in general, you know, I think, you know, to be cursed is a lot more rational than mental health. You know, mental health and all its complications are a new thing. Psychology is new to us, right? Curses are old stuff, lah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a reverse situation, right? You know, team rational here in Asia would be, of course, it's a curse. Who did you offend? Where did you pee? Rather than, you should see a therapist and tell him all your darkest secrets and it's probably about your father or your mother. It's like, no lah, that sounds like rubbish. You know? So you must remember the sort of frame of mind that we're in, right?
Yeah.
You know? But okay, you were saying something about black magic being subtle, right? And this is something I firmly believe, that I think the sneakiest black magic, you know, and maybe the majority of black magic, is the kind of black magic that, rather than being a specific, I send this gin, you know, to you, or I send this one thing specifically to you, I think that once you kena, right, it will be something that comes from around you. You know, so if I were to design a black magic thing to send to someone, I would just say, okay, go to that person and make that person extremely attractive to whatever around him wants to haunt. You know, and suddenly Miss P wants to haunt you, everything else wants to haunt you, and you cannot trace it back to me. It is where you are living and the ghosts around you. You know, I suddenly make you a magnet to haunt things.
Is there a spell like that?
I mean, as in...
Or are you just making this up? I'm saying
the logic of black magic, right? For it to be most effective, it must draw from the dark forces around you. Instead of sending a specific dark force, go there, right? I'll just say, come on, there are dark forces all around you. I'll just activate them.
Don't think that's how it works, lah.
You think not? You think not? Because like you were saying just now, you were listing out all these possibilities of, you know, the different signs, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that almost seem to suggest basically half the confessions that we're hearing all the time?
I put it this way. So we use logical sense. I use John Wick again. It's like, if I want to put a hit on you, I need to target you, right? So I send my hitman to you. I cannot put a...
No, but that's a hit. That's a hit.
Black magic is a hit.
Not all black magic is a hit. No. Some of it just wants you to be bad, to feel sick, to lose
just
whatever.
Just screw up your life a little bit. Make your life difficult.
Correct.
That's it.
It's not... It's bullying rather than killing.
Okay.
Black magic is not assassinating, right?
So, but if I were to say, make you in such a state where you just become prone to other attacks, that means I need to attack your chi level and bring it down. How do I do that? I can do that by putting you in a depressive position and causing you friction in life. And then when you are depressed, automatically you are open. So yes, there are that overlapping thing where I would first have to trigger something to create a domino effect. And once you're in the pits of your life, then you really kena free fracked by everybody around you already.
But that's chicken and egg, lah. Because it's the other way around, right? I can say, all right, you know, I'm going to make you so attractive to whatever around you. And then the first thing that attaches itself to you starts to bring your energy down.
Okay.
And then it just escalates from there, right? You know? So I don't have to send a Miss P to you. Mm. There's a Miss P near you.
Miss P.
You know? Coming soon to a Miss P near you, right? And that one will start the whole the whole sort of what you call it, the domino effect.
Okay, okay. But right? I've not heard of that sort of black magic. Maybe I can ask some people like, yeah, hey, can this be done or
because you think about it, right? Like again, right? Back to the story we just heard, right? Mm. You know, why did the father see this pink and blue effigy? That I don't think something was sending a pink and blue effigy, but I think it's something that was around him.
Ah.
You know, or something. Yeah. So in a way, you are being killed by your darkest fears, that kind of idea, okay. Right? You know, and you are right. Or well, you know, another way of seeing it is like Final Destination. Lah. You know, I want to take your life, but it's gotta be something
okay.
around you. Lah.
Fair enough. Okay. Good. I think that's a possibility. Again, I do not know what spell that would have, but my spell idea is probably limited. I'm going to go to read out some comments. Then we can move to the next story. It's already 11:07. Okay, Clark says, how to solve? I think it's a hantu. Paris Maitreya says, compelling love magic to me is also black magic. Because white magic would make you attractive and charming, but a black magic, in this case, would make someone be attracted to you. There is a different intent. Some people say that they remember the confession about the man who lost his teeth and got very sick because of black magic. He was actually in the beauty industry, very good looking. I saw his before and after photo. He went to seek help from some ustad and everything to get it cleansed, but it was too strong because every time you're clean, you come back, I attack you again. I'm constantly sniping you. The most simple thing with magic we can do is photo. Ghost Warrior said, ox skin, is it considered black magic? I do not know ox skin. Black Ghost Warrior, let me know. What do you have any idea?
Ox skin?
Yeah.
Isn't that leather? That's leather, right?
Sorry.
Ox hide. Okay.
Yeah. Karma will turn back on us. That's why they say black magic, if you cast any negative spell, you're gonna get back to you three times.
Gabriel says, John is thinking like an AD&D spell. Maybe there's more truth to AD&D than you think. But on the other hand, I suddenly remembered a very, very directed curse. This account, and it's one of my favorite stories. Okay, I tell you very briefly. It was this village, somewhere in Malaysia. Right, and this village had one sort of provision shop. Okay, this was in the days when, you know, everything was about the provision shop. So a family moved in and they opened another provision shop, thinking there's enough community here to tahan two shops. But the original shop didn't believe lah. Didn't agree, right? So they were always giving dirty looks, you know, from opposite the road and all that, right? But this family said, you know, it's okay, right? They'll learn to live with it. Okay. And then suddenly what happened, because this family lived above the shop, right? As we used to, right? Suddenly what happened one day, they were sleeping, right? And then they heard bam, 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 banging on their wooden doors at night. Right? So of course, like, what's going on? Is there a fire? Is something happening? They run down, right? Open the door, nobody there. So like, oh, okay, maybe pranksters. Huh? Okay, then I might ignore. Right? Next night, exactly the same thing. Right? And then it started happening every single night. They'll be furious, like many, many hands banging on the door. They'll come down, they'll open, nobody there. They could never catch. They run into the street, nobody around. Okay, always, every single night. Finally, they were starting to lose their sleep. They were starting to have no energy to open shop in the morning. You know, their nerves were all frayed, everything. Right? So they said, okay, we need to go and see someone to help us. So they went to the temple, right? And spoke to the monk. And the monk said, come, I go back to your shop. Show me. Right? He went back. He looked around. Right? CSI style. He looked around. Okay? He went to the doorway, right? Of the wooden door. And he started looking very carefully in the joints of the wood, and he found what he was looking for. A folded piece of paper. He pulled it out. He opened the piece of paper, and a little drawing on it was a hand knocking. And that was the curse. So obviously, I mean, everyone said it was the other provision shop lah.
Yeah.
No, so very directed, very specific.
When you speak about that, it reminds me of my friends from Malaysia, and it's very, very common. Malaysians, even Malaysians will tell you, and they will acknowledge this. So if you guys are from Malaysia, like Chua Eileen, and all that, right? Especially in the Malay community, when you are successful, first, when you have a shop, I curse. And they will bury things outside your shop. So like when you call for a spiritual master to come and help, sometimes they know where exactly in around your yard that they can pinpoint and find, like what you just did. Barang. The shop at Katong Shopping Center, the Ghostbuster, they have a lot of artifacts that they show outside. And if you speak to the proprietor, the son or the father, they can tell you that this, we found this in this house because there was a spell cast on this family. Yeah. Common, very common. More common than you hear these days, because most times we are like, I can't be like, can't be very rational. And that to me is the most dangerous thing, because when we start being too rational or trying to find rational reasons to override all these potential black magic issues, we are then allowing these black magic practitioners to get away scot-free.
Correct.
So that's the most dangerous part. I'm not saying everyone should be paranoid, right? But some, for me, at least, if I get something wrong, my first thought, let's find if it's a curse first. Cannot find curse, then maybe it's medical. I'm the other way around.
So the biggest lie, so then your new tagline must be, the biggest lie the devil has ever told is Team Rational.
Yeah. All these Team Rational people are sent by the devil. Sorry, we are running out of time, so I just want to read the message, right? WSA says, how does white magic work? Are the spells direct opposite to black? White magic work by empowering. If you already have something, it empowers you, give you better vibration. Blessings. Black magic removes or get people. Black magic affects others. White magic affects you. Put it that way. If let's take love, for example. If I want to use white magic to make the girl like me, I would use white magic to maybe improve my charisma. Right? And then hopefully the girl look at me and, oh, not too bad. Black magic will be, I want you to look at me. You will see me, my face, and then maybe I rub a corpse oil on you, and then you turn and see me and, oh, that's black. Okay? Arthur Keith says, how about corpse oil? Is that also black magic? I saw that from an old Thai movie. Now, if you speak to Thai practitioners, they may say, no, that one is Wicca, not magic. Not black magic. Wicca. Right? So they have different classifications of magic even in Thailand. There's white magic, there's black magic, and then there's really the one used corpse type one. Oh, just now, Miss P says, hey, John, you summoned me because you mentioned Pontiana. I can't remember what you were saying just now, but Saravanan says, doesn't work like that, John. Yeah. I think your hypothesis doesn't... about how spells work.
Maybe that is the meta hantu, you see, the para hantu, the logic behind the black magic. Yeah. Okay. Who knows,
right? Hirishi Haran says, my parents' shop was once hit by black magic, which led many customers to see that their shop was always closed. But in reality...
Yes, I've heard of this.
Hadi J as well. Hadi J was a confessor on our show. Yeah. He has a shop in the grandstand. What's that called?
The old turf club at Bukit Timah, right? Yes, the grandstand.
He closed his shop because customers cannot find his shop. People don't want to be there. Food rot. Spells. Wow. That's magic. That's a targeted spell.
Yeah.
Anything on supposedly from Yunnan? Alex Chu, sorry, I don't know how to read that word, but anyone can help me out with that. I'll be happy to research and maybe talk.
Someone
about
is asking, is Hui Chiu was asking, Susuk is white magic?
Susuk is white magic in the snow. Susuk is magic.
That's Susuk. Work on yourself, like you say.
Yes.
Or does it work on other people works on by deceiving yourself. Them? Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure? I don't think Susuk really makes you beautiful. I think it is a glamour.
Glamour lah. But you glamour yourself.
Other people's eyes. No, it's other people's eyes that see you as beautiful. Actually, you are as wrinkled as you always were.
So it affects other people. Magic. Okay.
It's black magic. It's a deception.
I'll go with that.
Maybelline is... white magic. So is black magic. Okay. That's the difference.
Okay. Can. There's a wuku.
Wuku. What is wuku?
Wuku.
As in what? Innocent. I don't know. I need to see the Chinese words. No, I need to say hello. You give me a wu and a gu.
Wugu.
Wugu. It could be anything. Okay.
Green magic.
Put the Chinese word there. SK2 is also white magic. Ooh,
as in five la. Wuku, five ghosts la.
Wukui la. Is it wukui? I don't know. Do you know about the wukui from where? From?
I know wukui, but the wukui I know is from Kung Fu Panda.
So what is it? Is it a tortoise? Is it a five ghosts? Is it a...
I don't know.
Ma Shipo is putting these very complicated Chinese words, which I also do not know.
Don't know, man. Okay, okay. Chill. Anyway. Level 16 already. John, why don't you take us to the last confession that we have for today? All right? Okay, are you ready?
Earlier, you were speaking of love, right?
Yes. So this is
very appropriate.
This one is some friends who I'm acquainted with, and I saw it almost to the end. Almost to the end. But let's, John, give us a story.
Love magic triangle. This story came from a couple who I'm acquainted with. Let's call them Tommy and Gina. They were in their mid-30s. They knew each other as friends before getting together. Tommy had fancied Gina on the sidelines, but never plucked up the courage to make the move. Them getting together was also a little controversial. She was engaged to another common friend, Paul. Tommy even attended the engagement party. Shortly after the party, Gina started to see more and more of Tommy. And one day, she declared to us that the wedding was off and she wants to be with Tommy officially. This took us all by surprise. But considering that it's not our problem and matters of the heart can really be fickle, we just left it at that. Grown-ups making their own grown-up decisions. Paul, unfortunately, was distraught and inconsolable. Tommy and Gina, too, were not very thoughtful about their relationship and were living life loud and proud, posting their adventures all over social media. It all happened way too fast. This was not the Gina I knew. And though we weren't really close, I've known her throughout my youth within the extended circle of friends. So Paul disappeared entirely from the scene. He didn't reply to messages. He didn't pick up calls. 3 months later, Tommy and Gina's relationship started to show cracks. They would fight constantly. Of all the people she chose to call, Gina called me. One night, she called me to meet her at the stone table under my void deck. She needed someone to speak to. She's feeling lost and confused, and I happened to pop into her head, so she reached out. She talked. I listened. She told me about her relationship with Tommy and how she was thinking about going back to Paul. Being the concerned yet curious friend that I am, I started to ask more questions, and that's when I started seeing signs that there could be magic at play. So Tommy had recently started visiting Thailand often. From a shy boy, he had suddenly become more confident and assertive. Gina, on her part, said she loves Tommy like mad, but it's strange because her feelings swing between very intense and cold detachment. When she's with him, she's head over heels in love with him. When they're apart, she sometimes wonders why she's even with him in the first place. Recently, she finds that he no longer speaks to her the same way that he did during the courtship. And he's smelling funny too. Lovemaking was extremely explosive in the first 3 months. But now she says he reeks of rot and she can't even bear to be intimate with him due to the stench. His touch repulses her. Lately, she's been having thoughts, even intimate dreams, of Paul again. So I passed her an item that was gifted to me by an Ajahn. I want this back, I told her. But I want you to hold on to this for now. And whatever you do, avoid seeing either Paul or Tommy for the next 5 days. We'll talk again next week. 3 days later, I received a text from Paul out of the blue after 3 months of silence. And the message read, stay out of it. Jang, jang, jang. What's going on? Okay.
True story, yeah, this one.
Wow, people, what's going on? Okay, you've heard the clues. You've heard the scenario. What do you guys think is happening?
Wow. Tommy needs to shower twice a day.
Wow, I'm really surprised by the text coming from Paul, of all people. Mm. I can totally imagine Tommy saying, stay out of it. But Paul? What's going on? Oh, Mr. David says, battle of the magics. Chua Yilin says, Tommy Busok. Yeah, that one. you know? But he's only recently Busok. So it's a new Busok. What's going on? Saravanan says, wow, both are using black magic. Is that what you think is going on? Come, more opinions, please. Okay. yeah, why did Paul ask him to stay away? What's going on?
I like it when the black magic is not on me. You know, like, you know, I just get to see and watch this as if it's a show. Share this with you guys. Yeah.
Wow. Could also be the fear of commitment. Mm.
Then find best friend, then haha, you know, in the end. How chill is the girl? La? Okay, la, quite chill. La, quite chill. La, quite chill.
Is it Where's Maybelline chill? Awesome, okay.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. A girl is also damn weak, so easily affected by magic. Hey, cannot, I cannot victim blame like that. La, okay.
Victim blame.
Cannot victim blame. Okay? Kena is kena. La, okay. What stench is that? How it spells to know if the person
is. She said rotten. Cursed. Rotten.
Yeah, she said rot, right? Mm. Yeah. Which I think is a far more alarming thing than, you know, she treats it like, why my boyfriend suddenly smell like a dead body? Mm. I'm like, that's kind of like, get out, you know? Yeah. Gina too promiscuous. Mm. See, victim blame again.
By Jill Chong, a woman against woman can.
She was ready to get married, okay? Mm. So I don't think she was playing around, but suddenly something happened.
The clerk says as the most logical explanation, rotten smell, maybe STD.
Maybe rot he high protein diet lah. Okay.
Never drink enough pineapple juice lah.
How like that? So what is going on? Was there black magic involved, and who was using the black magic?
Okay. So very good. I will give you my notes, right, guys? I'll give you my 2 cents worth as well, and then John and the rest of you guys can give me a different perspective. Okay.
Okay.
Someone mentioned just now, I think Navinet says this is like GM on FNL. Ghost Motor.
Okay. GMFNL. GMFNL.
I suspected Tommy had been using magic. And maybe I'm just stereotyping, but this guy goes to Thailand often. You know, and suddenly he comes back all confident, Mr. Suave, everything. I immediately go, this guy dabbles, right? And in Thailand, I know there's one quite rare amulet. It's called the Inku Talisman. Okay? Inku Talisman is endowed with the Mahasane power over the other sex. It's to make you look attractive. You walk into a room, girls all look at you. So how it's done is this special amulet is made out of cemetery soil mixed with various types of herb powder that are known to possess magical attraction properties. Then it's molded into a shape of a vagina and is then embedded with 4 different kinds of tuck roots like the metal scriptures thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and inscribed by the Ajahn who's making the spell. Lah. Okay, so if you go and Google this, Inku, Innkoo, is actually like a man and woman in embrace. Okay, but there are also other versions where they are in copulation position. And then it'll be encased in a mold and soaked with some metal oil and bone ash. So dark magic, right? And this would give people, this is a very powerful amulet. I have tried a not so powerful amulet before from an Ajahn who says, you put it in your pocket and you read this mantra, you tap it twice and you'll be attractive. Some of you may have remembered this story. I did it. I put it in my pocket. I went to a bar and I recited the mantra and I waited. And then this tall girl came up to me. White blouse, black skirt, high heels. Then she leaned over and says, would you like a drink? I was like, phew, I have made it. And I go like, sure, whatever you're getting me. Then she then she passed me the menu. I realized she was the waitress. So the spell did not work for me. I did not get late, did not get lucky that one on that night. I just went home on my own. Yeah, so maybe Tommy got better at that. Now, I think some of you have also mentioned that it was magic versus magic. I do believe that as well because some of the spells that black magic practitioners use to make couples break up is for the couples to misinterpret things. Maybe I will look at you and I says, hey, you eat it or not? But what you hear from me is, oh yeah, I tell that boy, or what do you not? But the tone and the impression that you get, so a bit of what you say about the susu and glamour, how I hear what you say is misinterpreted.
Right.
And smell is another sign that magic is, especially rotting smell. So Tommy's level of skill to get to where he wants, nowhere near Paul's attack against Tommy. And a lot of these spells would make you either be repulsive sexually or the Thai version makes your cock cannot stand. So I think Paul is not using Thai. Tommy is using Thai. Paul is probably using Indonesian magic. So, and
Tommy, ASEAN War of the Magics.
Yes. Okay, Paul has Gina's clothing at his house and personal artifacts. He's using those, and that's how it powers all these spells up. Tommy, on the other hand, because they are have a lot more time together and go on dates, I believe Tommy, and also knowing how Thai magic works, have to feed her with certain things. And that's why when with him, she's madly in love. When not with him, she's like, what am I doing here? Tommy's magic is low level. All because he's pissed off, he is going all out. So this is really, you know, a love magic triangle. So that's my take. So this is my dissection of the story and my experience with them. What do you guys think about that? What do you think, John?
Interesting. At first, I wanted to believe that there was that Paul was innocent of this, you know, that poor guy, right? You know, but then again, you know, him coming up with the threat, right? You know, reveals that, you know, he's the one to beware of, right? So I guess in that sense, it is the small bully meet big bully. Be careful, right? You know, is this still going on? This is not recent, right? What happened in the end is what I want to know. Who did she end up with? I think some of them were asking also. Who did she end up with?
Okay, she went back to Paul.
Okay.
Paul won.
Is she happy with Paul?
Eventually, the entire relationship break down because you're using magic to attract a person back to you, and there's always a price to pay. So once you win, because you're trying, his goal was to win back this girl away from him, away from Tommy.
Yeah.
But it was not a natural progression, was not a natural love. And that can only last so long. So eventually, she left. She went back to Paul, and years after that, she left both of them. She left both. Yeah.
Then I feel it's a waste because Paul was in a really good position, right? If he had used a milder magic, right, or only used half the magic, right? You just need to make her disenchanted with Tommy, right? Because she was already in love with you in the first place. Tommy stole her away. You just need to remove Tommy, and she will come back, right?
So here's the edit part of the story, because the story has already ended, right?
Yeah.
Whatever that he dabbled with, the Malay side of things, the Indonesian side of things, it took over. He became a slave to that thing. That thing wouldn't let go. Okay. Wouldn't let go of him, wouldn't let go. In fact, when they were making out and everything, Paul didn't feel like it was him anymore. The relationship soured.
Right.
And no amount of magic after a while can override that level of love. Like you can only put the blind on someone's face or eyes long enough, but eventually the cracks will show. So the crack did show, and then I do not know what happened to them. I just lost contact with everyone already. This was years ago.
Obviously he used a very, very intense magic, right? You know, and it got the better of him, right? And I'm just thinking, if he had used something milder, you know, one of the others from the other stories, you know, one of the other magics, you know, or going Ta Xiao Ren, right? Buy our box set, you know, and just weaken Tommy's hold. Right? But in trying to sort of one up on Tommy, he went for something really intense. And then, of course, he was not ready for it.
Yes.
Right? You know, but if he had just gone for something much more low level to trip Tommy up.
Yeah. That's it. That's all that's all you needed.
Yeah. That's all, right? You know, and then, you know, and so he himself doesn't get involved to such an extent. You know, maybe it might have worked. I don't know. Who's to say, right? Saravanan, again, he's saying it doesn't work that way. You know?
Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows, right? You know?
Okay. Sorry. Anyways, 11:30 already. We have to go
But there are questions. What was the artifact you asked her to hold and what does it do?
Okay. I let me get the proper Thai name for you. I forgot what it's called already. We're supposed to absorb and negate, reflect the spell back to whoever.
Right.
And that was how he traced back to me.
And that's why Paul warned you, because you were giving her protection against him.
So whatever was trying to get in knew there was a bit of protection and where it's from.
So what you gave her is what Paul should have gotten hold of. That it will protect her from Tommy and negate.
Correct.
And
so if you use white magic, you want to protect someone, but he was angry. Yeah, he attacked, right? Yes. So using black, and then it's always the price to pay.
He paid the price for being vindictive rather than protective,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So that's the moral of today. Use magic to protect. Don't use magic to harm.
Anyway, next week we have Bill Andreanto from On the Fringe coming on as a guest for us. So that's going to be interesting. I'm not sure how tinfoil hat next week's content is going to be. but please go and check out our featured show today. It's 20 minutes long. I refuse to put it into half-half because it just loses that sense. So full confession, 20 minutes long. It's happening right now on YouTube, Supernatural Confessions. Please go and check it out right after this. Yeah, so John, shall we say our goodbyes?
Yes. I think very fascinating. Today was very fascinating. I'm still convinced that there's a para hantu logic to how these things work. I will keep thinking about it, all right, and figure something out, you know. But in the meantime, okay, so for me, I think it's very important that, you know, if you are in a situation where you are tempted to seek help from, you know, other forces, right, you know, bear in mind, number one, you cannot guess when they will stop. Yeah, you can start the thing and then after that, how, right? Number two, I think that the blast radius is always going to be bigger than you think, right? You know, and you're going to end up hurting people that you have no reason to hurt. So don't be a psychopath, okay? I think that there are always better ways to deal with it, right? And maybe white magic to make you feel better about the bloody thing,
yes,
is where you can start. You know, yeah. So heal yourself first. Don't hurt other people.
Well, and that's for Jonathan Lim, for you and myself, Eugene Tay, saying goodbye. And with this parting message, that the greatest trick that the devil has ever pulled is to bring you the rational people. Good night, everybody. I'll see you guys on the other side.
Yeah.
Go catch us on YouTube right now. And if you so feeling a little bit generous, you can buy us a coffee or hit your donation button. Good night, everybody. Bye bye.
Good night.
What did you find? You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.